Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. As we approach the end of the year, we're doing some kind of wrap-up type shows. So the last show is our travel highlights from 2019. For this show, we're going to talk about RV trends for 2020. So the things that we've seen this year as we went to RV shows and things like open house, which we'll talk about in a second, and how we think those trends will carry forward into the next year. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford, because they're pretty trendy too.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And one of the things that I find very pleasant is the SantaCon.
You know, your hands stay cleaner. They do. They do. It's just a cleaner.
Well, you have your gloves on, so that doesn't matter anyway.
It's a cleaner
right?
dumping process with the SantaCon. There's no doubt about it. And then you don't have a sewer hose hanging off of your RV, so your neighbors don't even have to look at that. I just tuck it back
Looks
into
nicer.
Its little storage bin. I think it's all about being polite for your neighbors, too, with the SantaCon.
Better aesthetics. All right. Well, we love the SantaCon macerator in our Octane, so we used it for years. And then we were also thrilled to find out that it's in our Eagle travel trailer that we just bought also. So we've already were able to use it. When we were at the dump station, it's like firsts for the dump station at Assateague Island.
Did you ever think you'd fall in love with the macerator?
Well, as much, right, as close to love as you can get. I feel that for the SantaCon.
And I made sure to properly winterize the SantaCon. So if you do get a SantaCon, that needs to be part of your winterization process as well. It was very easy.
Yeah, so it just has a nice handle. It's a mess-free dumping situation. You open valves, you turn on a switch, and it just does its job.
It macerates.
It's a feature that we've gotten used to and we definitely look forward to for all of our rigs, and it is something that you can add on aftermarket or look for in a new rig. Click it as an option, especially if you're getting a Jayco.
Not that pricey either. Pretty affordable
right.
option.
Talking about trends, you ready
Talk
to
about
dive
trends.
In?
So 2 years ago we both went to open house. And then this year you went back to open house and you actually took our good friend and camera person, Andy Fagan, with you. And you did a lot of coverage. I mean, you probably walked through, Stephanie, you probably walked through over 100 RVs.
Way over 100
RVs.
No, it's ridiculous how many RVs
are. And part of your focus, which you did in a Go RVing Facebook Live, which we will embed in the show notes for this episode, part of your focus was to look for trends. What is new? What advances are being made? What things do we have to look forward to in the future? So tell us a little bit more about open house.
Yeah, so open house has become, it's actually not that old. The industry has changed really dramatically over the last decade or so. And some of the old industry events weren't really working anymore for the industry in terms of rolling out their new models. And part of that was because really the production sort of line has changed so much within the RV industry. It used to be that dealers would go once a year to an event in Louisville hosted by the RVIA, and the dealers would go there with their line of credit from their banks and basically put in their orders for the entire next year.
Just to give you an inside scoop on an event that's not open to the public, the banks are sometimes actually there. They're actually there. Loaning money to the dealers so they can make their multi-million dollar purchases for the year.
Yeah, and then the manufacturers would be like, okay, these are how many orders we have, and we're going to roll them all out onto lots for the purchasing season going into the spring, and then they would do it all again. Well, just the market has changed dramatically. People not only are buying RVs all year long, but our new models are also rolling out much earlier than they used to, more along the lines of the car model years, right? They are coming out in early summer than really what happened in the past. So the industry had a shift and change along with that. And what happened was a few years ago, very organically, actually, it started with one company doing an event called Open House out there in Elkhart. And then other manufacturers realized that it was a really good time to kind of get into dealers and, you know, get them to make their orders for the upcoming purchasing season. More and more manufacturers joined in. And at this point, basically, every single manufacturer is present, large and small, at Open House. And it is an enormous event. This isn't in one location either. You have to drive all around Elkhart County to be able to see all the different manufacturers' displays. And since it's in Elkhart where they're located, they're able to show so many more RVs than they can, than they were able to in the past with events like Louisville.
Well, because it's so close to home for the manufacturers.
They're right there and they're just rolling out all there.
They're not dragging hundreds of RVs to Louisville or wherever it might be. They're bringing them right around the corner in Elkhart.
So this has been a work in progress for sure. I would say it's grown dramatically year over year. And what happened was this year was the biggest yet. Very specifically, the RV Motorhome Hall of Fame has a really large area that was basically undeveloped around it, just fields and fields. And in the past, you would walk through sort of like muddy fields to look at all these RVs. Well, this year I showed up and I had heard that Thor had developed this entire huge event space that was going to be used in the industry throughout the year. But it really was amazing. Last year, there was like hay everywhere.
Well, I remember walking through the mud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody complained, apparently. This year, it was unbelievable, paved everywhere, enormous like event spaces, open air event spaces with huge catering, you know, set up and everything. It was shockingly beautiful and really like jaw-dropping compared to the year before.
And you got to tour all kinds of rigs and you were looking for trends. So let's dive in and start talking about some of the big trends that you're seeing. And it really, like, I'm not just saying this, it did feel like it was a big year for the industry. And there are a lot of positive and interesting changes moving forward, where maybe for like 10 years or so, it didn't feel like there was a lot of huge advances. Now it does feel like there's some big leaps. So let's start with tech forward features. And, you know, this is a tricky one, right? I mean, do we want more tech in our rigs or do we want to keep it a simple camping experience? You know,
well,
obviously plenty of people want this stuff.
They do want it. Yeah, they do want it. I mean, the answer to that is yes, even though we may feel a little on the fence about it. And in the Facebook Live, that's why I specifically picked the NorthPoint 377 RLBH to walk through with this tech, because it had something very important. It had, first of all, an incredibly user-friendly app interface to be able to control basically every single part of this rig. So I actually walked through the whole process myself and downloaded the app onto my phone, like from scratch. And I was able to dim the lights all over the coach and take out the slide, take in the slide. I was able to monitor the tanks. I mean, really, it is a soup to nuts kind of experience. But the most important part and what's different is that Chris Barth, the original designer of this coach, had created redundancies. Okay. So it was very important to him saying that we're going to go in and we are going to add all this tech, but we're going to create redundancies so every single thing can be manually overridden. And I think that that's the key to a happy camper.
So why? Tell us why. Like, why?
Well,
and I agree 100%.
Break, right.
And or your app gets stuck or jammed.
Your
or
Your smartphone, or even like, you know, Chris's point in that too was like, you're sitting on a recliner and the light switch is right there and your phone's charging in the other room. Do you want to go get your phone to work the lights, or do you want to just be able to reach over and like a normal person turn the light on and off, right? Like, we want our phones to be useful. We don't want to be slaves to them, right? And like have to use them for everything.
They're poor masters, but very good servants.
So, yeah. So, I mean, this kind of tech, sort of two systems, both a manual and a high-tech version, I'm a big fan of. And that's what I highlighted in this rig.
And those of you moving forward that are shopping for RVs in the year ahead or in the years ahead, you know, if a salesperson is showing off some fancy app that's going to control everything, you should ask, like, can I also just manually bring the slide in or shut the lights off. And I think Stephanie is making a really, really important point moving forward. And what we should all be looking for as consumers.
Right. And let's just be clear that with it being on the app, you're communicating via Bluetooth. You're not communicating via Wi-Fi. And that's really important, right? You do not ever want to be reliant on Wi-Fi to work anything in your RV when you're camping.
Not if you want to go to a national park campground or even a lot of private campgrounds.
Right. So this is set up to not need Wi-Fi. And that's incredibly important if you're looking for tech in your coach.
So at the end of the day, I mean, some people might love the technology in the coaches and some people might not, but it is the direction the industry is going for sure. And then the consumer can decide how to outfit things and what they value. Now, the next trend you spotted, I think, is really, really cool. And I think we started to notice this about a year ago, but now it seems to be out more in full force. So you're seeing more RVs that are designed to be pet friendly. And Stephanie, you found some really cool little features in different rigs. You know, the RV industry realizes about 50% of RV owners travel with a dog or dogs. So why not design some RVs that make them really comfortable for our furry friends?
Yeah, we found a lot of RVs that had pet friendly features, but Highland Ridge is actually producing an entire line of like what they call pet certified. Like these rigs are actually designed with the pets as in mind as much as the humans that will be in them, right? So the Highland Ridge 2602RL was the one that I did on the Facebook Live, and it has these features, but this is a package that other Highland Ridge models have
also. And
it's
also like stamped with a poster or sticker.
Yeah, it has a specific certification that's on the outside, and I show off all of the features in the Facebook Live that's over on the rvatlas.com embedded in this post. But there's things like, first of all, the leash latch is on the outside of the rig, but it's also placed in a way that very specifically allows an owner to like open the camper door, latch the leash on, and let the dog out without even removing themselves from the rig. Like it's where it's located is supposed to sort of seamlessly tie in your experience of like letting your dog out. So it's that kind of attention to detail.
So thoughtful design. Or when we first got into the RV industry, sometimes it felt like you were just looking at a box on wheels that had some furniture in it. And now I think you're seeing product managers and designers that are thinking about every square inch of the rigs. And I definitely like the series that they're doing.
Other pet features are the hidden dog bowl drawers, right? Which are really great. You pull them out when the dog's eating, you push them away. Anybody that regularly kicks over their dog bowl knows what a pain it is.
I'm raising my hand right now.
Yeah, I actually got a special. I'll recommend it on another gear guide at some point, but I actually found an amazing, and it was a little bit pricey, but I found an amazing new dog bowl for the Eagle that is like unspillable and like untippable.
Well, I spill Maggie's water every single RV trip at least once, and I'm cleaning up that mess.
So it also comes with like included doggy bed, kennel space underneath the bed that's carved out that you can see in the Facebook Live. They've also removed all carpet from these pet friendly rigs, and they've removed the heat exchanges from the floor so that dog food can't fall in there. Dogs can't get their paws, you know, like their nails in there, and they're on the walls instead. So dogs aren't walking over the heat exchange. So a lot of the things I felt like dog-friendly rigs were also kid-friendly rigs, to be perfectly honest. Like, I felt like a lot of the design changes are the same.
Because if you have a dog and kids, you're more – it's like the kids are going to knock the water bowl over all the time. And I want to just clarify, in the show notes, for those of you who want to go look at these rigs, I embedded two Facebook Lives. Stephanie did like an hour-long one where she walks through all kinds of rigs, and that was on the RV Atlas Facebook page. But then she did one for Go RVing, which I embedded at the bottom of the blog post, and that's the one where she very specifically is going through these rigs and talking about these trends. I just didn't want anybody to get confused by the two different Facebook Lives. So anything else with pet-friendly, or should we move to off-grid?
Yeah, let's go off-grid.
I mean, this is probably personally our favorite, or at least I'll speak for myself, my favorite trend, because we love to dry camp at state parks, and it's just becoming so much easier to get a rig that is ready to camp off the grid. So what were you seeing in terms of off-grid capabilities in the rigs that you toured this year? There's some surprises here.
Yeah, and this is happening. This has been popping up more and more for sure. In fact, one of the things that I really talked about before, like even in the articles for Trailer Life, is so many smaller trailers, especially paying attention to making things 12 volt, right? So knowing that people are getting more solar capability so that they're charging up their batteries and people want to be able to run things off of 12 volt, like a TV.
We have a 12 volt Furion TV. Our outdoor TV is a 12 volt.
So that's something that's kind of been creeping in for a while that I feel like maybe if you're just the average shopper, you may not notice, right? Or especially if you're a first time shopper, you might not think through why having 12 volt appliances is so very helpful when you want to dry camp, right? So that's something that's been creeping in a lot. But I walked through the Sonic X as sort of an example of this, like, you know, off-grid on steroids that is starting to emerge in the RV industry more. They're paying more attention to people that want to use their RV as like an adventure wagon.
Not even like the dry camping that we do at Estique Island, but like BLM land or like
definitely
out in the middle of nowhere.
Off-grid. So things like the skid plates, right? All wrapping all the way around the RV so that when you're going on maybe dirt roads or gravel and things aren't jumping up and like dinging your fiberglass walls. So the skid plates, you'll see those rugged 15-inch off-road tires. You'll see flipped axles, okay, raised axles.
Clearance.
So you have more clearance.
Like on the Jayco Baja editions, you'll see those.
Yeah, and you'll also see bigger tank size, right, on these off-grid things. So the Sonic X had a 90-gallon freshwater tank.
And it wasn't that big of an RV.
No.
So that's a huge tank for a moderately sized RV.
Yeah. And they had the freshwater tank was hooked up to like a built-in water filtration system from ClearSource that was really designed to basically like filter
lake water.
So you could really feel comfortable and confident filling up your freshwater tank with maybe not like the highest quality freshwater and knowing it's going to go through that filter. Now they're saying the 2020 model is also going to allow you to hook up that to city water run through the filter also. So no matter whether you're hooked up to city water or using your freshwater tank, you'll be able to filter
We
that.
Got a new ClearSource filter, the triple canister filter, but we got it right around the time we winterized. It got cold here so fast. So I'm super excited to try that next year.
And then also like 40-gallon black water tank, 40-gallon gray water. So just these bigger tank sizes. Also racking, right? So you'll get that kayak rack that's attached to it and that comes with it. Things like that, which say, hey, we know that you're planning on bringing your toys along with you and this is how you're going to carry them safely is really important.
Do you think this is going to be more things that you're going to find in RV dealerships out west? Or do you think this is going to kind of perpetrate the entire industry?
You're gonna see it all over. So, for example, I could rattle off a few dealers that I feel like in maybe down in like the Maryland areas of will have RVs like this. Do I think that our favorite RV
in
New Jersey, Whitehorse, is Ed going to carry the Sonic X? No, he's not. I mean, and he would have a difficulty selling it.
Because for people that aren't following, just in the Northeast, at least, there's fewer wide open land. There's not really BLM land like there is out west.
People
there's
that come from the west campers. And they come to the east, they're like, where's all the free camping? We're like, no.
Where's all the boondocking?
It doesn't exist.
Real estate's
really
too expensive,
doesn't.
Sadly.
Yeah, and it's not like you don't know where it is. It really doesn't exist.
Or we're just
exist.
Too developed. I mean, the East Coast got developed so rapidly. The West Coast has a lot of wide open space still. That's just the truth.
So, I mean, it's just the market. And but in those places in the west, and not just the west, I think in the south too, I think that Texas, you'll have, Colorado,
And plus people buying their RVs in the east are going to take them out west.
And also, I would also point out in the north, right? Like, so areas like Michigan, Montana, those areas across the top.
UP.
So like one of my favorite little RV manufacturers is the Base Camp 365. I think I'm remembering the right name of that. It's like this pop-up cabin. It's crazy.
I saw the pictures of you in it when I was doing
the
blog
post.
I'm
so in love with that camper. I would love one of those. He basically has a dealer, I think, in Colorado and a dealer in Montana. So that kind of gives you an idea of where
Like the UP has a lot of wide open space.
For sure.
Like that. Okay, we have a couple more trends we're going to talk about. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. And I can't help but mention here that our new Jayco Eagle 264 BHOK is really prepared for off-grid adventures. I mean,
we talked about that
solar,
a lot
we've got
in
a generator.
Our episodes about the Eagle. So if you're interested in kind of molding that like off-grid capacity, toy capacity with a more comfortable, modern, upgraded travel trailer, go back and listen to those episodes from earlier this fall. But Jayco has definitely helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968, offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes. It's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family with an industry-leading two-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features. You can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, Stephanie, people ask us a lot, like, are RVs getting smaller? Are RVs getting bigger? And I think our answer is often both.
They are. Everybody has to act like it's got to be one or the other.
Well, no, it's not. But you know what? In a bizarre way, I almost feel like the middle is what's being a little bit undervalued by the industry now. The rigs that are sort of like 22 to 28 feet, and everybody's having all the fun in the huge rigs and in the small rigs in terms of design. So what did you see in terms of trends in terms of big rigs?
Yeah, well, this was crazy. You have to watch the Facebook Live to see this. I think that sometimes they're, you know, in the industry, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've done everything we can with the toy hauler, right? So I think toy haulers had a moment for the last 5 years. And they, you know, if you were looking at RVs from 5 years ago, toy haulers were like these crazy man caves. Like, you might as well put up a Bud Light neon sign inside and called it a day.
With names like the Spider.
The Spider, right.
And even in ours, the one we had, the Octane.
Yeah, everything was really like angry and aggressive. And
at least manly.
Well, so that really changed over the past 5 years. Everything became much more residential. Oftentimes they were changing garages to make them more flexible, right? So garages were turning into living spaces a little bit easier, like softening.
An office, a TV room.
So there was a lot of changes over the last 5 years. And I think in some ways people kind of felt like it had gone where it needed to go, right? Okay, so the toy haulers. And then oftentimes we'll go through these things in the industry, cyclical, like they're paying a lot of attention to travel trailers or motorhomes. But actually, this was crazy. The Cyclone 4214, they did it. They shocked everybody with what you could do with a toy hauler. And it's hard to explain. It was even hard to explain when I'm on video in the toy hauler. But you cannot believe this. They took the garage and they basically made a bedroom that actually lifts up. Okay. So this looks, when you're inside the toy hauler, okay, it looks like the bedroom is a normal fifth wheel master bedroom. You know, queen bed, walk around, wardrobes on either side. The weird thing is there's a garage under you. Okay.
It's tall enough to raise up that.
So it like squashes together almost like a high-low, you know, those like like the hard top pop-ups, right? Yeah. Or something. So the when you're done and you're like wrapping up your toy hauler for travel mode, the bedroom actually raises up into the roof.
I mean, what I'm thinking is like that creates all this space in the rest of the rig for right. other things.
So guess what the rest of the rig was? A front living room.
Right,
okay,
right.
So all of a sudden you've got this whole front, you've got a toy hauler that has a front living room.
And everyone's
whereas
loved
in the past
that.
You would have had to have a front master bedroom.
And everyone's loved those front living rooms in the fifth wheels. So now, okay, we can give you that in a toy hauler.
So you've got the front living room, you've got this immense middle kitchen inside with dining area, and then you have a rear bedroom, and you don't even know you're in a toy hauler. Right. Until you close up and you put that bedroom up into the ceiling. It's like an engineering feat. You can't believe it's happening. You're looking like, oh, my gosh, how is this working? And then you can roll your car. Like they had an antique car on display. Did you put that picture?
I put that picture in the show notes.
Okay. All right. Good. Because that was fun. They had an antique car.
And the picture of you hanging out with the Razor like you wanted to go. Off-roading with that.
It was
fun. Stephanie, let me ask you what you think, though. Like, what did you think of a bedroom that raises up on a platform? Like, would you be interested in that personally?
Did it feel okay? I was one of those people that needed a toy. Like, they know there is an increasing amount of people that travel with a toy hauler for things like barbecue contests, car shows, right? Off-roading in their four-wheelers. There's people that wouldn't go anywhere in their RV without those toys that they're used to carrying along with them.
For this, clearly, you would need toys that would get unloaded and stay outside of the rig during your camping trip.
Of course.
Because it becomes your bedroom.
Of course. And this isn't for people that would want to use their toy garage for anything else, right? Like a workspace or anything. But for those type of people, this is a really unique situation that I can't ever imagine myself personally using. But that's the great thing about RV design these days, is they're really targeting these niche markets.
All right. So what's going on in the world of small and nimble getaway RVs? I think that our faces both light up when we go into smaller RVs, because I feel like, you know, once the boys are off in college, I think we will radically downsize. I don't know how small, but I just think we're both attracted to tiny trailers and Class Bs because of how easy they are to get around and how adventurous they are.
Well,
so what did you see there?
I also think that Class Bs have been having – I think small C – Class Bs have been having a moment.
Or Cs are just like same old, same old.
Yeah. But like we saw that at the Jayco Homecoming with the Melbourne Prestige and introducing. So one of the things that more people are doing is the twin bed model, which completely changes the inside of a small B. And that's really important. So Winnebago was doing that for a while and nobody else was. Yeah.
And we love that floor plan. And you can turn it into a single bed, but it's got the twin beds.
Yeah. So that really changes the design of a small motorhome, and you're seeing that adopted more across. Now, another thing you're seeing finally is the pop tops, right? And that totally changes the inside. So in the Facebook Live, I toured the Thor Motor Coach Telluro, which is coming out for 2020.
Like right
That's
now.
New.
Yeah, so you saw it first, really.
Yeah, and that had all of the stuff we're talking about in the other trends, the tech, right? The adventure. It had the Thule rack system standard. It has solar. It has all this stuff built in. It had a touchpad for the tech, but then it also had that pop top that pops up. You know, like think that traditional Volkswagen thing that everybody always says, like, why don't we have here in America? And you can climb a little ladder and there's a bed upstairs.
And there's a bed downstairs
and
too,
And there's
right?
still so, the twin beds. There's two floor plans. But again, one of them has that twin bed floor plan, which I think is catching on because people don't understand it at first. They're like, twin beds? I don't sleep in twin beds. But then when you realize how it completely changes the layout experience, you're like, oh, this
and
makes
so
total sense.
This opens up the possibility of Class B with kid or kids.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point. It's more definitely more European, you know, for sure. It's bringing that tiny trailer, motorized tiny trailer. Up until this point, I do think that the tiny trailers were getting more of a focus instead of the motorized smaller ones. Only Winnebago was really doing new things in the Class B area, but now other manufacturers are getting involved.
Well, a lot of the bigwigs in the RV industry really feel like the future is small in terms of urban areas and people going on adventures in places like the Northeast that are a bit crowded and the
right,
Class
B. Right, of course, like Airstream got on board with their Atlas, right? And that has that Murphy bed model that came out not this year, but last year. And it's just kind of like there's always indicators that this is going to be a trend, but then there's always the year where you feel like it really takes off. And I think this is the year that you're seeing more of those Class B trends, like with the different beds and everything.
And the idea that someone might buy a Class B to go camping, but also to integrate into their daily lives, to go to their kids' sports tournaments or to just go around and about town or a day trip and park it by the beach or whatever it might be. So it's a really flexible kind of RV.
Yeah. All right. So make sure you head on over to thervatlas.com so you can actually watch the tours of all of these
things. Two long Facebook Lives, pictures of all the rigs we're talking about.
I got in my cardio.
You did. You were walking all over the place.
It's huge.
I mean, the one Facebook Live was like an hour long.
Yeah.
I mean, you were walking all over the place.
Yeah,
it was super windy.
We just decided to show everybody.
So Stephanie's hair is blowing around in this like really beautiful, dramatic way.
I was so windblown.
Yeah.
All
so
right,
those
everybody.
Are our trends that we're excited about. You know, if you see anything else that's happening out there trend-wise, you know, we'll post about this in the RV Atlas group on Facebook. And we sure would love it if you'd leave us an iTunes review if you listen to the podcast. And what we really hope is to see you all at the campground.
See you at the campground. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground. Ground.